wanted to give big updates on Trump's speech last week about communist China that you and I have been detailing for years. The documents have come out, but even more, you have federal court documents that they've told you not to release, but you're going to do that.
There's a dirty Venezuelan software package that lets you steal elections. It was in Smartmatic, where it was called SAES, Smartmatic Automated Election System. They bought an American company called Sequoia, and they put it inside Sequoia, where it was called WinEDS. That dirty package got shifted, and it's actually inside Dominion. They call their system Democracy Suite. They've been denying like hell that they have WinEDS. I'm going to prove to you that it is in their system. What's happened now is Liberty has come along. Actually, Liberty is just a new name on Dominion. It's the same corporation. So that dirty package is still inside. Trump released this last Thursday night, the CIA document summary of their own intelligence reporting 04 to 20. Document 2, they talk about how they have had persistent concerns that Venezuela was developing systems to cheat elections. Well, they did, in fact, develop that software, and it was the WinEDS that I just walked you through. They are acknowledging that, yes, Venezuela developed this, and they've been stealing or trying to steal their own elections with it. Let's go to an internal Dominion email, which I'm not supposed to show anyone. This is from 2011. A guy named Craig Short, contractor for Dominion, is talking to Sherry Hadsky. You're going to see in a moment, she's the secretary with the Secretary of State of Louisiana. This is all about the WinEDS upgrade. Now, remember, you're going to see Dominion's come out and say, we don't have WinEDS. No, we never do. That's all some junk from the past. But meanwhile, their internal emails, they're talking about upgrading their system. She says, hey, confidentially, if Democracy Suites, if this runs on Windows 7 and this WinEDS runs on Windows 2003, don't we need two servers? So she knew and Dominion knew that they were, in fact, still using WinEDS. And the guy confirms, yes, that we're going to need two servers. This is an email from Eric Coomer in 2020. He's running the elections in Chicago. He's writing a guy, Goran Obradovic, who's in Serbia. They're talking about setting up servers to process ballots as they come in. So this is a few days before the election. He says, 30 minutes, 12,000 ballots. We may have some timing problems. We can set up the cartridges to load overnight as they come in scare quotes, and then
come in,
meaning we're going to be uploading them, but pretending that these are ballots coming in from the field. We can then load them into the WinEDS. So here's Eric Coomer, the CTO of Dominion, acknowledging that WinEDS is being used in their system. He swore up, down, and sideways since then, as is Dominion, and he's saying our good Dominion machines don't have any of that WinEDS package in them. Here's a guy, Edmundo Rojas. You look on his LinkedIn. He's at Dominion Voting Systems, but he's also under contract as a senior product specialist to Liberty Vote.
Yeah, so they're rebranded. Don't worry, Republicans own it now. Everything's fine.
But here's another Dominion voting guy, again, writing to Coomer, establishing VPN connection into the virtual machines today to reach the county's electronic voting machines. And on the next page, our tablet arrives in Shanghai Customs. We're waiting for clearance. So the tablets you're voting on are actually going through Shanghai Customs where China gets to edit them. This is all under what's Liberty Vote. Chinese-made equipment with Venezuelans who are all in our system, that Venezuelans here in the U.S. who are now working for Liberty Vote. You trace these Venezuelans back to the same university through Smartmatic and Sequoia, and now they're in different places running our elections in the United States.
The multinational corporate intelligence conglomerates.
Chinese, Iranian, Venezuelan, they're all in on it. It's one constellation of bad actors.
And it's the Democrats and the CIA, as you pointed out, contract people that hate us to do it, so they have plausible deniability. Oh, as they come in,
you get what's going on.
So we preload the results before they come in.
What they really do is when they set up a Dominion server for some county, they set up next to it a second machine that is the WinEDS machine. They run the election on this machine, all this stuff gets in, and what they're not telling anyone is it goes from the Dominion machine to this EDS dirty machine and then gets reported into the election reporting system. So before the results go from the county to the legitimate election reporting system, they're run through this WinEDS dirty Venezuelan software. They and only they even know it exists.
Let's add some personality to this frog. Little red right here for some lipstick. Just a few gentle strokes. There we go. A perfect little touch.
Ahoy, matey. Claim America's 250th limited edition silver coin. 1 troy ounce of 999 fine silver, forged to honor 250 years of liberty. Grab your treasure now and help keep us in the fight.
Visit thealexjonesstore.com today.
Patriots' choice and globalists' dread. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
It is the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jason Burmess. We got bombshell news via the Epstein case. So much going on in that case that you are just not seeing really anywhere. Mainstream, alternative media, it's moving at a rapid pace, but not towards the direction of what? Indictments, prosecutions, people going to prison. And that should be extremely alarming because as the focus sets on foreign policy, Iran, Russia, Ukraine, and rightfully so, and obviously this NDAA with Israel, which is absolute insanity, a lot of things that have captivated the public's attention and really pushed us to get some type of transparency. Well, that's waning, and that's extremely dangerous because all we have at this point is the court of public opinion, at least to successfully expose so many of these monsters that walk among us. So we're going to get into the Epstein files. We're also going to be talking about Google quadrupling their profits. Yes, Google, which is, you know, it's disguised as a private company, but when you go back to its origin story and where it is today, it is nothing but, instead, it is a Trojan horse civilian system that was literally erected out of NASA and DARPA money with InQtel CIA cash splashed in there, and now you have it as really the main technopoly. I know a lot of people talk about Apple. Well, you know, Apple has a ton of faults, and I'm not here to defend them either. But when you look at Google, the number one search engine in the world, and Google's Gemini is now integrating with that search engine to be the great deceiver on any subject of true importance historically, Google's Gemini is abhorrent. It lies right to you. Now, if you already know your history and you can provide examples, it will admit that in about 3 or 4 prompts. But seeing as they're getting away from just a traditional search engine and they're moving towards more and more narrative management, extremely dangerous. And then, of course, you have the second largest search engine in the world. That's YouTube, which also happens to be what? The largest video platform in the world. Meanwhile, this little magic box right here, about half of them, throughout the United States and the world, run on their operating system. The laptops no longer really run on Windows in the schools. They're all based on that same operating system. Really, the Chrome operating system and the Android operating system have merged. And that is just scratching the surface of what Google is up to. We're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about the Fauci, going to be testifying with Rand Paul in the Senate. Now, again, I think this is extremely important because we need more on the record and we need to continue to win in the court of public opinion. Unfortunately, Fauci and his cohorts, they're going nowhere. They're not going to prison. It's very disturbing. In fact, one of the subjects that I don't think gets brought up enough with this second administration is the fact that they have not challenged this idea of a pre-pardon. I'm really hoping that Trump isn't planning on pre-pardoning anybody at the end of his second term because it is completely unconstitutional. The pardon is there for somebody that has been convicted of a crime. And we had this precedent set that still has not been challenged. I don't see anybody in the media really challenging it either, where you can just exonerate somebody of a crime they supposedly never committed, because that's what you're doing with Fauci. And yesterday, I revisited two very important interviews. We'll talk about them a little later on with Andrew G. Huff, the vice president, former vice president of EcoHealth Alliance, and really the main whistleblower. You know, we had more documentation, for instance, put out by Rand Paul, which was preceded by more documentation that was put out by Tulsi Gabbard in regards to Wuhan, Fauci, Collins, Daszak in particular. But the meat and potatoes, okay, the vast majority of that information has been out now for several years. In fact, those interviews, and I know that Andrew, I believe, did an in-studio interview with Alex, that they're evergreen. They are as important today as they were 3 years ago. And no matter what happens in the next several years, they will be as important tomorrow as well, because they lay out this narrative of corruption and collusion amongst big tech, big pharma, and the military-industrial complex, especially agencies like not only DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, but also the Department of Energy, where if you know anything about the Department of Energy, okay, we're talking about human experimentation on a level that most of us can't even imagine. And that's just what's been admitted. Look up Bill Clinton having to come out with like a phone book size report, much of it a whitewash, because so much is still classified to this day. But he had to get up there and admit the United States had experimented on U.S. citizen and military personnel without their knowledge, and that some of it might not have been ethical. You think so? And that'll segue into what I really wanted to lead with, and we're going to just talk about briefly. When I talk about the Department of Energy, and people are obviously aware that it has to do with nuclear energy, but I don't think they understand and grasp the fact that it was very heavily involved in the Manhattan Project, which really denotated the way that you would have massive compartmentalization within these programs where most people had no idea what they were working on. Well, a lot of that was born out of a place called the Bohemian Grove. And right now, the Grove is in session. Again, barely any media coverage. This is local coverage about the locals being upset that their airport paths have been obstructed from all of these elitists and their buddies getting together at the Grove. I could find like one article, and it's the same old there is no debate here. Bohemian Grove, merely a playground for male elite or shrouded retreat with global reach. I mean, is the sky blue? Not as much as it used to be. It should be bluer. But of course, it's male elite with global reach. They were some of the people that drove the Manhattan Project, the vast majority of it, by the way, at the Grove and at the club. Okay. And then you've got Greet the Power Elite, Bohemian Grove protests return with museum show. And by the way, good for them, because there have always been a lot of locals that go outside of the Grove and protest AJ style. And props to AJ for being the guy that really broke this thing wide open and getting the cremation of care on camera. He also, I believe it was either last year or the year before, had those individuals that broke in and actually got finally high def footage of these people, where if somebody really wanted to do an investigation, you could point out which people are in what roles in their little druidic robes, okay? And, you know, if you don't think that these people have power, again, we've known they have power. You just look at the names, or that they're creating policy or whatever. I've got a few books here. First of all, this is the first annal of the Bohemian Club. I think they're at 11. I think I'm missing three. The latest one's really expensive. I have 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. I might be missing 8. And I think I have 9 and 10. Okay. This book's over 100 years old. Lays out their little club. And the funny thing is that it wasn't always the owl. They actually had a Buddha. There was always kind of like this druidic, occultic, pagan kind of theme for sure. But it was this guy right here. The long ago and the later on with George T. Bromley. This is an original, in fact. I mean, you just look at the spine on this thing. One of the coolest things I've ever gotten is the fact that it also, and it's stained here, this is a local obituary for the guy. Bohemian's honor, best loved man. I mean, it was in the headline of his obituary because he was their high priest. He's the one that brought the owl over. The owl's on the spine there. And they love the owl because they have it as a symbol of, you know, wisdom. Here it is with the glasses on and kind of the sash around it, right? So it's supposed to be very wise, but it's also a predator. It's able to see in the dark. And if you didn't know, these guys are shrouded by a bunch of darkness. When we talk about the pagan regards of this, here's another really rare book by John Vandersee. They actually let him come in and write about this. It's tough to get hardcover, but you notice you got Pan down there as well. And Pan, Minerva, that's their shebango, man. And they've been into these things for a very, very, very long time. Of course, the very odd thing about the Bohemian Grove is these are supposed to be a bunch of Christian conservative leaders. And yet they're at this very, very odd, highly occultic pagan getaway that goes on for 2 or 3 weeks every year. And yes, they are setting policy in there. So I thought I'd kick it off there. I believe last year, during one of the weeks, got to host the fourth hour. If you're interested, I've done a full hour on this subject. I've broken out all of the annals. I've shown some of the pictures and the denotations live on air. So that's out there. But we're going to move on to Epstein. And just this last week alone has had a ton of news that just I don't see anybody talking about. First and foremost, it was now, I think, a little bit over a month ago, and we're having these hearings, right? A little over a month ago, that they had this hearing with Leslie Groff. And so many people are simply just not familiar with Leslie Groff. And she's essentially as important as, say, you know, a Ghislaine Maxwell. In fact, she stuck around longer than Maxwell. She was arranging all sorts of different meetings with Epstein and these underage girls. And for instance, Jess Staley, he was just at the hearing, I believe it was the Oversight Committee yesterday. And they were asking him about some of the arrangements of him going to sleep with some of the girls that Epstein was sending over and whether or not that was actually consensual. You see, it wasn't always about blackmail, and it wasn't always about underage girls either. They loved that, and Epstein himself, very much into underage girls. But at the same time, a lot of these girls would get groomed at a very young age to be in their, you know, early 20s or whatever. They get them for these modeling agencies, and then they use them not just to blackmail people, but to curry favor with them, like someone like Jess Staley of Barclays and J.P. Morgan, okay? And let's not forget, J.P. Morgan paid out big buckaroos, big dollar signs, okay, to the victims that wanted to sign NDAs. So many of these institutions have ended up paying out, and there have been repercussions, as we're going to show you, at some of the charities and other institutions that were involved with Epstein, yet no criminal prosecutions whatsoever. Odd, weird. Kind of shows you how the system works. So you had this guy, Daniel Saeed, I think it was What Now, or What Something Modeling Agency, but he's involved with Epstein for over a decade. One of the victims talked about this guy introducing her to Epstein, knowing full well what this is. And this kind of speaks to the idea of what many of these modeling organizations really are. It's not just modeling organizations. It's the pornography. It's even low-level Hollyweird entertainment in the acting and music business. You know, some people will sit there and talk about, you know, Harvey Weinstein and the casting couch. But on another level, you know, a lot of these actresses or singers are pimped out. It's kind of grotesque. People forget the story of the Pussycat Dolls, where one of the singers just came clean and basically was like, yeah, no, the band was just like a high-end escort agency. That's what it was. And that's why they don't want to pull too hard on those strings, because these things have been going on for decade upon decade upon decade in this country and around the world. It's been normalized by this, you know, people are calling it the Epstein class. It's really the predator class. They do feel like they own you. And I mean, Epstein, they almost arrested him in Palm Beach when he was judging one of these beauty pageants. Okay. So when you look at that world, it's very much set up as a world where they can exploit, profiteer, but also control male counterpart parts. Okay. Give you another great example outside of this. First of all, outside of Daniel Saeed, just want to say that so far they're saying that they haven't seen any signs of violence or anything like that with this case. Okay. You know, who knows? 69 years old, not trying to accuse anybody of anything. But Jean-Luc Brunel, he is somebody who was a high-level Epstein associate in the modeling world. And he ended up being criminally charged, of course, not in this country. And I believe it was in Spain where he was in prison and he allegedly took his own life. Now, he may have done that, by the way. I know very, very little about what went on there. But if you put somebody like that in general population and you turn your back on certain things that might be beatings or say some things beyond that, and then you give somebody that opportunity and say, hey, you know, we're gonna leave for a while. Some people may be looking at that as an out. I mean, even right now, you have that other ghoul that looks like Dracula. His last name is it's Peter, and I mean, I don't know, Peter the Demon, Peter the Dracul. But he looks like he's gonna spend the rest of his life in prison. And good. And that was a guy who what? Was also hell-bent on living forever and very much a part of the transhumanist movement, which is all over the Epstein files. But just quickly getting back to how many of these girls were controlled, I believe it's a 1980s or early 90s, 2020 or Dateline piece. And they're kind of featuring this other guy in that arena called Claude Hadid. And this is a pre-cell phone period. So one of the things that they would do, and by the way, in the Epstein files, he's still talking about recruiting teenage girls, some of them underage, into these modeling agencies. And there are a ton of redactions that have nothing to do with protecting the victims. I want to make that abundantly clear. It's all over the files, okay? But what they would do is they would bring these 15, 16-year-old girls over from the United States with promises of, you know, big money and modeling contracts and all these opportunities, and they'd get them away from their parents, and then they would put them into dorm-like apartment buildings that they'd share with, like, 4 to 6 other girls, kind of establishing competition, okay? Now, remember, you know, there's a big time difference there. There's no cell phones. You know, you'd be able to make maybe one call a day if you were lucky to somebody. And they would bring these teenage girls to elitist parties and events and just be like, hey, you're going to go with that person. And if they didn't want to do it, guess what? They didn't get the job. They weren't kept around. So whether or not they were actually paid for it, they were absolutely also pimped out. That is unfortunately the world we live in. And unfortunately, you know, we've allowed somebody like J.D. Vance, who you know, I guess you could argue is well-meaning. I don't think so. I think he's a very slick politician. I think he's coming from that Peter Thiel school where he's learned to kind of play every single side and appear to be libertarian. You know, he goes on Rogan. He tries to massage the issues of the Epstein files. Now, there's a ton of issues. I don't think that we're ever going to get all the files. I mean, they were heavily redacted, the ones that we did get, 3 million plus pages of documents. But then we find out there's, what, 3 million plus more pages of documents. And look, they lost. We're in a system that's supposedly a constitutional republic where we have the legislative, the judicial, and the executive branch. And the legislative branch spoke. And they said, you need to release all the files. And the executive branch said, no. They just said, nope, not going to do that. Now, what some people may not be aware of, in fact, I was unaware of this, except for, again, just keeping up on the case, is that you had a journalist actually sue and a judge say, yeah, no, this is completely and totally illegal. So ever since, I believe it's July 2nd, okay? So we're talking about, what, it's the 24th today? You know, over 2 weeks ago, this guy, here it is right here, a judge, Judge Emmett G. Sullivan, gave Todd Blanche till July 2nd to produce the unredacted Epstein files. And specifically, this journalist was just talking about a few redactions, but wanted them all, Katie Fang. Well, he's supposedly being fined $1,000, which is chump change for the military-industrial complex and probably for Todd Blanche himself. But no one's talking about this, and no one's talking about the fact that New Mexico, their government, is now their federal government or their state government has now claimed that the federal government broke their 2019 Epstein investigation agreement. Of course they did. No one's going to jail. No one's going. These things have been whitewashes. They've been softball questions to the point where we already won, but they were able to primary Massey with a guy that I didn't see had any commercials, didn't do any debates. If you walked up to the average person outside of Kentucky, they're not going to be able to tell you who beat Massey. They'll know about Thomas Massey because they know about the Epstein files. So now we need a Transparency Act 2 to enforce what we already were supposed to get in the Transparency Act 1. Seems a little off. Not sure I like it. We got even more Epstein news than this that we are going to get into. Folks, I'd like to implore you. I'd love to get to 80,000 subscribers. The only way that I get subscribers or followers on any social media are doing shows like this one and saying, please come out and check them out. In fact, right now, the revisiting the Fauci factor, we'll talk about it a little later on in the broadcast, but it's a must watch. It's two of the most important interviews with one of the most important interviewees I've ever done. And Andrew G. Huff just says things in these interviews that I don't think have been established anywhere else. And they are bombshells. You want to support independent journalism? You can do so right now by going to ajnlive.com and or the alexjonesstore.com, getting the supplements, getting the t-shirts. I love having the hats on. I love making that conversation about real truth outside of this left-right paradigm. We'll be back after this.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
News, analysis, reports. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am
it is the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmess, and we're going to continue talking about Epstein news. I mean, how much of that is out there right now, like I said, whether it's in the mainstream or the alternative, all those are stories that we need to be focusing on. Sarah Ferguson, for those who don't know, this is the ex-wife of Prince Andrew and somebody who remained very friendly with him even after their divorce and was kind of like a pseudo member of, I don't want to say royalty because I'll puke in my mouth a little bit, the House of Windsor. Please give me a break. Her charity has been shut down after they probed her links with Jeff. She's very friendly with Jeffrey Epstein in these files as well. And on top of that, I really want to put it out to their that mentality. When I say that, you know, this is the ex-wife, you know, he was notoriously cheating on her at the time, but like they stuck it out. With who? Well, we know that Virginia Giuffre Roberts, you know, has accused him and she beat him in civil court also before her passing, of being one of the main abusers. So, and I sometimes people will jump in and they'll talk about the age of consent being like 16 in European nations, and sometimes it doesn't make it right. These are teenage kids. They're kids. I cannot emphasize that enough, especially as somebody who, you know, is on the tail end right now of raising teenage girls. My two nieces, the one is 17, about to be a senior, and the other one who spent all summer with me, she's 15. I'd be over the top if a guy just the age of Andrew was anywhere near my niece. Forget about somebody with money and power and influence. I mean, disgusting. Disgusting. So look, Sarah, she's not going to go to jail. She's going to live a very, very cushy life. But at least her charity gets shut down. When you've got a guy like Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation, no, 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 no. And when I saw this headline, I think it was like 3 days ago, Gates Foundation exonerates Bill Gates of any wrongdoing with Jeffrey Epstein. I was like, is it The Onion? Is it the Babylon Bee? No, it's the real deal. So the Gates Foundation supposedly interviewed like 50 people. They've looked into it all. And old Billy Boy, Mr. Pink Sweater, not in a pink sweater there. He's suited up for that one. He didn't do anything wrong. And again, I don't know whether or not Bill Gates was ever with anybody underage. I know that his foundation is extremely dangerous. I know that he is extremely eugenics-based. He should probably be in prison for a multitude of crimes. And I also know that even that relationship with Epstein has largely been whitewashed in the timeline, as there's plenty of evidence to show that that relationship was going on like late 90s, early 2000s. Okay. But once again, although we have a trove of emails, we also have a trove of emails and communications and pictures and video, you name it, that have been completely and totally covered up. One of the golden nuggets, though, you do get from the Gates testimony, and this is, again, why we want at least the show that they're doing something, right? That he's going to speak before the Congressional Oversight Committee. Because you got a Department of Justice that came out and said there's no evidence that Epstein was trafficking these girls to anybody else. And yet, again, they asked Staley about Epstein sending girls over to him, just total bonkers town, the opposite of what they said. Said there's no evidence he's working with intelligence. I mean, open mainline reports that he's being mentored by Douglas Lease of Iran-Contra fame and going into business with Stanley Pottinger, who's a lawyer for Iran-Contra, then it represents a bunch of the Epstein victims. Nothing to see there. And of course, he wasn't blackmailing anybody. And look, one of the photographs that leaked out without context, I don't know whether they put it out by accident or maybe it was in the wrong folder, but is clearly a pinhole camera of a dinner that I believe at the table is Ehud Barak and Woody Allen, amongst others. So yeah, no, he's spying on people. He's recording things. But Gates admits that, you know, his relationships with these like 19 and 20 year old Russian girls was being held over his head by Epstein. That's called blackmail. So, I mean, the DOJ, as we know, the FBI, they have no problem just lying to your face. And that's why we have to have secondary bills to try to get what the first bill did from the legislative branch. It's out of control. And it really does speak to how we have to rein in this executive within an executive that has basically become untouchable and the people that surround them. I think the arms dealing may be the key, because in the past, it has at least produced some people going to jail with Iran-Contra, some people having to step down, like Prince Bernard of the Netherlands via Bilderberg and the arms deals there. And, you know, I talk about Bilderberg, you know, Epstein had a guy like Jess Staley in his pocket for sure. And he's having conversations with his Bilderberg boy right around Bilderberg for three years. In 1 year, he's literally got Mandelson. Epstein has Mandelson over his house just before Bilderberg, where Mandelson gets sent his quote-unquote script for Bilderberg. And then the next, like 2 days later, while Bilderberg's going on and Mandelson has left that home, right? Epstein just gives him a header that says inequality. Nothing else in the email. And Mandelson, like the good little weasel, the good little minion that he is, because you've got pictures of Mandelson literally in his underwear with some of these girls, having them put his socks on. He says, firmly on the agenda. Thanks, Jeffrey Epstein. And by the way, that was in 2012. And I was, Alex Jones was too. I was outside of Bilderberg covering that event in Chantilly, Virginia. I knew who Epstein was. We were reporting on him then. I had no idea that he had people on the inside of Bilderberg. In fact, another person on the inside of Bilderberg that Epstein had was the Crown Prince of Norway, Nick Bryant, who's the guy who got the original Epstein flight logs released and published, the original Epstein Black Book released and published. He just did a couple of Substack pieces, one of which talking about modern day arms deals that Epstein was a part of with that Crown Prince of Norway. And then you get to Staley, and, you know, you've got these repugnant, I mean, Staley's accused of some bad things. You got these joke emails back and forth where they're talking about how Epstein likes to dress his girls up in like Disney princesses and things like that. All right. Again, is Staley going to go to jail? Is he going to be criminally invested? No. No. I wish, but he was just interviewed about those Epstein files. And the more we can catch these people in lies again to win in the court of public opinion, I think is extremely important. Last part of the Epstein stories, again, that you didn't hear all week that I think that are extremely important. Melania Trump files for sanctions against journalist Michael Wolff. Now, I've talked about this in the past. You know, I was one of the first people that was like, no, you know, Trump and him did have an actual relationship. Yes. They, you know, they were talking about whether or not Trump had ever been on Epstein's plane. And it does seem like, you know, Virginia Giuffre Roberts talked about that. Yes, absolutely. It wasn't in the public arena, but what was that Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein had actually flown on his plane. So that was never a question to me. I had never found any evidence that he was abusing underage girls. There was the story out there, and Michael Wolff is now being sued for that story. We'll see what happens with it. that Melania was essentially a model amongst many that was introduced to Trump at a party where he was angling for his third wife. Like, that's the big picture story. And I don't know whether it's true or not. We'll see where this court case goes. But again, I think it speaks to the type of circles that Epstein was running in. You know, I just mentioned Bilderberg, for instance, and arms dealing. Well, Epstein was a high-level member of the Trilateral Commission. He was also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Alex was talking about the World Economic Forum. Well, you just scratch and sniff a date in one of these emails. So I was going through the communications of Mandelson and Epstein regarding Bilderberg. And by the way, there seems to be some redactions there that shouldn't, certainly aren't protecting any victims. Let's just put it that way. And so I just was looking up the date before that, see if there were any other communications. And like in one day, Epstein is setting up two separate meetings with two different people that are heavily involved in the World Economic Forum via Europe. This guy was a real player. So just kind of, and I don't know whether there's any validity to this story. In fact, I'm hoping that there's not. But since we're transitioning from Epstein into Google and narrative management and then into Fauci in these final 13 minutes or so, I can only say this. I hope, just like the rumors that he was going to possibly pardon or commute Ghislaine Maxwell's sentence, that Trump does not commute R. Kelly's sentence. R. Kelly is another example of one of those big wins that people like myself, you know, I was talking about R. Kelly for years before, I think it was on Discovery or TLC, all these women and girls that had been abused by R. Kelly. They did this documentary series, and essentially it got very popular. That's what moved it into the arena of putting him in jail. All right. Do you think that state governments and federal governments didn't know who he was and what he was doing? You think Jay-Z, who did an album with the guy called Best of Both Worlds and toured with the guy, didn't know what he was about? I mean, guys, you know, Aaliyah, he basically bought off the family and married her when she was 15 years old, and he was, I believe, early 30s. Now, let's keep R. Kelly in prison. Let's do that. I'll be happy with that. Let's not commute any sentences. And I hope that that's just a smear piece on Trump, you know, trying to ride the wave of, again, his relationship with Epstein and being beyond what it was. With that being said, I want to talk Google really quick. I talked about them in the beginning, but right now there is this huge crunch for technology, hardware in particular, to be taken out of the hands of you and me, to making it unaffordable. I might have shown it before, but what I'm holding in my hand are two kits of RAM that when purchased, I think, you know, $150, $125 bucks each, maybe closer to $150, maybe not much more than that. Okay. That was 2 years ago. Technology usually goes down in price. At the very least, it remains kind of stagnant, but always ends up going down. This is over $1,000 in my hand right now. Okay. And it's not because there's some kind of actual shortage. You can talk about AI and you can talk about these data centers for sure, but there is now a lawsuit. Notice it's not a criminal case. Okay. It's a lawsuit in which they're pitting the top three, really there only are three, manufacturers of RAM for collusion. They have an actual date beginning on, I believe, October 22nd, 2022. So in the run-up to this whole thing where you can't afford it anymore and they're not going to produce it anymore and they're getting ready to end physical media in video games and all these other things, you'll own nothing. It's a license they can take away. They're doing so together. And it's not the first time big tech has colluded to do this. And they have to do it together because they realize if they don't, the other companies will make record profits. Well, now they're all making record profits. Props to Gamers Nexus out there. They've been doing some really good work and documentaries over the past couple months. But this week, they released one on this very, very underreported civil suit, class action case, where they're reading the emails and the vendors are saying, hey, they're all coming to us with the same script before they squeeze this out. Sure looks like collusion to me. And when you've got the ultimate collusion tool, they just posted their biggest quarterly profit at $112 billion. Now, I want to move this into the case of narrative management because you don't see here that they actually just quadrupled their profits. So you know, somebody reading this, they might think, well, maybe they made $110 billion. No, this is four times more than they've made in any other quarter. So this is the original headline I saw. Google profits quadruple to $112 billion after, and the big after investments into AI. It's all about, oh, how great AI is going to be. Trump's telling you, you can't fight the data centers. You better just get behind them. I think I'm going to be fighting my beyond track trace database agentic AI techno slavery, sir. Sorry, especially because you want to give it all the human resources, such as, I don't know, water. Forget about human. How about the biological planet resource of water? Just forget about you. And they want to take your ability to have low-cost energy away. Geez, just sounds lovely. So I put this headline in, just trying to find that article. Google profits quadruple. Remember, this is the number one search engine. It doesn't even, it's not even anywhere. It acts like I'm asking about biblical prophets. And then if I move it forward to where I typed in the 112 billion mark, okay, yeah, it's there, but notice it's towards the bottom. Like, it's not one of the, see, I had to go down like three or four, and I had to have the 112 billion in there and profits. Yeah, it's about narrative management. It's not going to tell on itself, okay? And speaking of that, you know, I want people to remember this headline. This was May 5th, 2020. Fauci, no scientific evidence. Coronavirus was made in a Chinese lab. And then, of course, we're about to have these hearings, and Rand Paul has released even more documentation where they all knew that this was a synthetic virus that was created in a laboratory. And it was done so not just in China, but in Chapel Hill. You've got the Manhattan Institute. You got involvement in DARPA, the DOE, you name it. EcoHealth Alliance, obviously. All there. Well, now they got new spin. Okay. And I saw this clip, and we're going to play a much higher quality of it. But this is Dr. Patrick Soon-Shiong, okay, on COVID-19 and a cancer connection. All right. Now, this guy, I've noticed he's been in kind of like these pseudo, you know, non-mainstream news nation type outlets. And by the way, Chris Cuomo, they allowed him to be rehabilitated. Somebody that literally told you you weren't allowed to read the WikiLeaks document. He's allowed to. Where were the media? We're allowed to read them. You're not. They're classified. You're not allowed to read those documents. They're always trying to withhold information from you. So in this piece, Andrew Capo Cuomo's brother, little brother, I'm not even going to call him Fredo, but Chris Cuomo, is trying to become the hero. And this guy right here is saying he's basically got, you know, medication that's doing better on cancer than ever. But now hear this spin right here. So we're just going to play it.
When you look in tumors, what are you seeing?
There's now evidence that when you actually biopsy the tumors, there's the spike protein inside those tumors.
From COVID?
From COVID.
And then there's what happened with Jim Johnson. In 2022, he'd survived his HPV-related cancer for 7 years, and he'd taken the COVID vaccine. Then his doctor gave him some shocking news. The cancer was back with a vengeance.
First person that they know of on the planet that had HPV metastasize onto his liver.
And they didn't know why.
Had no idea why.
This is why I worry when I'm now seeing 10-year-olds with colon cancer. I had a 13-year-old died in a clinic with pancreatic cancer. I'm seeing a lady who was very close to me who had a thymoma 30 years ago, never had remission for 30 years, got COVID, and now has got metastasis.
So, what did we learn there? Now, first and foremost, they also try to slip in the HPV, never been proven to actually turn into cancer, but they love giving out those shots as well. Okay. Then you have the idea that somehow the COVID-1984 virus that barely affected children long term is now giving 10 and 13 year olds cancer. And they slip in that the one individual had just taken his hate and lie shot, but no. Can't be that. In those interviews that I did with Andrew G. Huff, and if you do one thing, please, again, go subscribe or just go watch the video and spread it. Revisiting the Fauci Factor. Two interviews, almost 2 hours of material. Before they came out with the hate and lie shots, okay, I was one of those guys that was saying, number one, this is going to be the only solution, and who knows if it's actually going to be a solution, but they're going to try to make you take it. And I would go back to something I learned right here at InfoWars and had been talking about at the time for, you know, almost two decades. The fact that the polio shots back in the day had something called SV40 in them, simian virus 40, that was known to cause cancer in apes and other hominids. Well, back in the day, people won some lawsuits based on those shots and the SV40. In the second interview that I did with Huff, it had been somewhere around the media, but there was really nowhere that I can confirm it. They actually sequenced in, because remember, these were not traditional shots. They were printed with bio nano printers that actually Elon Musk helped create. It was Tesla's partnership with CureVac that created these bio nano factories, but they actually sequenced in SV40. Do you know how crazy that is? How disturbing that is? How most people have no idea about that? But now Chris Cuomo and others are going to gaslight you and tell you that this cancer explosion is really from the already bioweapon itself, the original bioweapon, you know, the one that they seeded and then they also conflated with the flu. So it was almost indistinguishable because it was a weaponized version of the flu. Again, extremely disturbing. And we got a long road ahead of ourselves. I mean, I don't know that we're going to get any type of criminal accountability. I think that we have to continue to win in the court of public opinion before that happens. And that's just what we've seen historically. I understand the frustration of people. I also understand the frustration of people that say that we can't vote ourselves or vote our way out of this. Again, another system that needs complete reform. We've got to get rid of all of the machines. We've got to get rid of any sense of mail-in ballots. I mean, we have a lot of work to do there and everywhere, folks. So in this final moment, I will ask everybody out there to please support this broadcast right here. AJNLive.com is where you can find it daily. And go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now. Get the products. Get the supplements, get the gear, and get out there and talk to people, okay? There is nothing more important right now or ever than to have real deep connections to those around you, your friends, your family members, your neighbors, to have discussions, to be human, and not settle for evil, not be apathetic, okay? Empathy is our strength when we can actually act on it. And I'll leave you with this, guys. It is not about left or right. It is always about right and wrong. Please give me a follow on the socials. Go check out youtube.com/InfoWarrior. I absolutely love you guys. Thanks for spending some time with me, and I'll see you all on the flip.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do, they want to silence you. Is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, has been very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.